Friday to everybody, and happy beginning of the weekend. It is October 11th, and it's time for Safe City of Heroes Radio. I'm your host, Pogo Man from the Virtue Server, and Susie cannot be here tonight. Her daughter has a soccer tournament this weekend out of town, but filling in more than capably, the ever popular Tony V is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello. Hey there.
Tony, how you doing, brother?
Oh, not too bad. I don't know why you have to listen to that devil music, though. Don't you have anything by those nice Simon and Garfunkel boys?
Oh, well, thank you, LT Cooper. He just said, I love hearing that song start, knowing it's time for Safe COH Radio. There you go. Oh, that's very nice. I picked that song. I said that, I think that song was very appropriate. Oh, and it's Thanksgiving Day weekend in Canada land. Well, happy Canadian Thanksgiving Day.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving.
To North of the Wall. Like, you know, I used to joke around about that, you know, the Game of Thrones reference. They call Canada North of the Wall. And I saw something like, if Westeros was North America, and they said Canada was North of the Wall. So, see, I wasn't that far off. Isn't October just great? Yes, because Monday I'm decorating the front yard as my massive graveyard slash cemetery for Halloween on October 31st.
I'm gonna put real bodies in mine.
That would freak the hell out of people. I know. Now you get the best month of the year. You know what's funny? As I decorate, I find myself going, "It's the most wonderful time of the year." Sorry for my voice tonight, guys. It's a little out of it.
You got that Nightmare Before Christmas thing going on?
Yeah. So I think it was a very good week for all involved. For those of you who, well, I think everybody in the chat, our chat room is very knowledgeable. And I think everybody in the chat knows that last week the Phoenix Project slash City of Titans Kickstarter started up. And as of right now, with 23 days to go, we are just at a mere $405,740 of the proposed $320,000. So no matter what, we have already matched it. They've already done it. Oh,
well,
Triplash's birthday. Happy birthday, Triplash.
Hey, happy birthday, Triplash.
My goodness. What? Look at that. And we're still not done. Some people won't be able to donate till the pledge till the end of the month, like myself. But I'm going to do it. I will do so. Oh, the 15th. So that is Tuesday. Yes. Tuesday? Yeah, Tuesday. I got it.
Yeah. A bunch of people get paid on Tuesday.
Oh, and LT Cooper's is the 16th.
Like me.
There you go. Tuesday and Wednesday. That's our boy. he's putting the lyrics to the song from that movie. The Tim Burton movie. Well, oh my god, I just went brain dead.
I don't know. I can't see the chat yet, so you're gonna
No, the movie you just mentioned. The Tim Burton Halloween movie.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Thank you, Nightmare Before Christmas. Oh my god. Wow.
You know what's funny? I've never actually seen that movie.
I've seen it once, but it was kinda like I was watching it at home and people were here, so.
I've seen like every.
Oh, no. As someone always said, no, it's from a very scary solstice from the H.P. Lovecraft Historical Society. I'll have to go check that out. I found that a couple weeks ago on Facebook and I put a like on it where I joined the group and I'll have to go check that out. All right, before we get into all the good stuff, I got to bring this up now, Tony. I just mentioned it to you. How sick are some people in this world? I don't mean like us, you know, being geek and nerd, you know, a little crazy. But I mean really, really sick. And, you know, me, Tony and myself, we are football fanatics. And I had the NFL Network on before. And I heard this news. I heard something about Adrian Peterson might not play this week. I was like, well, what happened to Adrian Peterson? Well, it seems the boyfriend of the mother of his 2-year-old son.
That would be the Minnesota Vikings running back.
Yes, I'm sorry. Adrian Peterson is a big Minnesota Vikings running back. All right, the boyfriend of the mother whose name, I'm going to mention this guy's name, Joseph Robert Patterson, I hope you burn in hell. I hope you suffer the worst. You go to the worst rung in hell and suffer more so for all eternity. He committed aggravated assault on a 2-year-old. Okay. I don't care how annoying the 2-year-old gets. There is no reason to assault a 2-year-old. Or scream.
I heard the 2-year-old pulled a knife on him. That's what.
All right. I was going to joke, but yeah, I can't even do it. And aggravated assault to the point the 2-year-old died of these wounds earlier this afternoon.
It is terrible. I tell you, I don't know. It's amazing to me that, I mean, how aggravated could you possibly get at a 2-year-old?
That's what I mean.
It boggles my mind that someone would think, you know, I'm going to beat the crap out of this 2-year-old kid until he dies. I mean.
Aussie B-Man said not to joke because he has a 2-year-old. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, I can't even joke, but it's like, what the hell? Here's the link for the article. You guys could read
it. It's to point out the whole ludicrousness of the situation.
Right. It's I don't care what excuse
that guy comes up with. What could a 2-year-old possibly do that, you know, someone, it would go through someone's mind, I'm going to beat this kid literally to death. I mean, that's just, I don't know.
It's just absurd. It's just
ridiculous. Definitely sympathies go out to Adrian Peterson and, I don't know. That's crazy, man.
I just don't get it, man. I just don't. Oh, okay. Happy news right away. Ready, Tony?
Fire away.
I know you know about this. I don't know if fans in the chat heard about this. Did you hear what they found in Ethiopia this week?
I might have, yes.
You want to take a guess?
Oh, I already know what it is.
106 lost episodes of Doctor Who from William Hartnell and Patrick Troughton. Oh, Nigeria was? Somebody said it was Ethiopia. I swear they said
Nigeria.
Ethiopia today, and that's Nigeria. I apologize. Oh, they found Nigeria. Oh, now 7 episodes? The Ethiopians alive. Try to break in on this, man. 70 episodes. Still! 70! Never 40 episodes. Or obviously seen one time, but how long has it been since they've seen episodes? This whole mess, lost episodes of Patch. I can't wait.
I don't get the whole, I know it was the early days of television, but what in the world? Why did you ever leak stuff like that?
Because that didn't know that show would have to be now.
Why don't you, you know, you're making a great show. I mean, that's always hard work, you know?
Web of Fear and Enemy. I saw Web of Fear, right? And it's so funny, on the DVD, they did like an animated where they did still shots. They had the audio for the missing episodes, but they didn't have, obviously, the footage. And as a matter of fact, I can't remember which one it was now I got from Netflix. One of the episodes is missing, and they drew it. They did total animation. It looked like the artist put the paper over the film and like drew them in and then did the rest. Because I swear to you, it almost looks exactly like them. Wrinkles and all that detail on their faces and everything. I was like, wow, that was an awesome job they did. Damn, I can't remember the episode now. But anyway, yes, this is what they found. And, oh, it's hit iTunes already.
Yeah, I don't have iTunes, though, so.
Oh, it's now available for purchase exclusively on iTunes. Are you kidding me?
I was not happy about that part of it.
I did not hear about it. I just read it. Oh, man. Not to get iTunes? That's what I say.
But they'll release it on DVD later, so I'll wait till then and get it.
Hold on a second here. Somebody's trying to contact me on Skype. I don't want to be bothered. I'm doing my show. Go away. All right. We have a caller already. Let's bring him on. Hello.
Hello.
How are you? Sean?
The one that's been putting up the songs from It's a Very Scary Solstice.
Yes, I write up. Yeah, I did correct myself before I saw that. I'll have to check that out. Is there like an actual audio link? Did they actually do the song, or they just did the lyrics to it?
There is two CDs.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out.
Hang on a moment.
Okay.
They did a magnificent job of producing the songs in well-known Christmas carol styles.
Cool.
So as you listen to them, you'll be able to tell what the performance is that they stole it from.
Oh, okay.
And that link, there are three examples that are full songs and a bunch of samples, and then a whole bunch more that they have on the CD.
Oh, yeah, I see that. Yeah, I just clicked on the link. Thank you for the links, guys. I see that. Let's see.
It's look a lot like Fishman.
I want to check those out. I'm going to have to get this for Christmas. And somebody just logged down to the chat using my account name, using our generic account name for the... And just booted me from our own chat. What the hell?
Not me.
I know. I'm yelling at him now. Okay, there we go. All right, there. I kicked him out, whoever it was. All right, so very cool. I'm going to have to get that for Christmas now. I will. I'll do it. Oh, we are at 2,799 backers.
And the combination of both of the CDs comes with a Solstice Tentacle.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No. Go to the other link that was posted and scroll down a bit.
All right, hold on. Going there now. Going there. Oh. That's hilarious. Yes, because all Solstice Tentacles should be hung by the fire with care, in hopes that Saint Cthulhu soon will be there. I just made my own up. See that? Wow, I'm good. So, how are you doing this week? That's very cool. I like that.
Pretty good. I'm actually getting paid, which is unusual for a government employee.
Yeah, I don't get this. We're under such shutdown still, right?
Yeah.
Which means that, you know, when you make a phone call, you don't have to worry about them listening in on you, so.
No, the NSA is still at work.
Of course they are. Of course.
But analyze it until later.
Right. We're just saving it all up for another time. All right, let's see. Okay, I just wanted to bring this up. I'm going to post the link here if people don't know. The wonderful website online magazine, 10tonhammer.com, did an article of City of Titans and the Kickstarter. I'm going to post this right here in the chat. You people can look at it at your leisure or leisure, depending on how you want to say it, depending where you're from. There you go. Sorry, guys. I'm a bit scrambled today, guys. I'm sorry about that. Guys, I found out somebody sent me this link before. DC Comics has a MOBA, a massive online battle arena game coming out. DC Comics Infinite Crisis. And it's going to be free to play. Of course, if you pay a founder's fee, you get in the beta. And they throw, I don't know what they're going to throw at you. They're going to throw some bonuses at you. But if anybody wants to check that out, I'm just going to post this here. I'm going to post that in the link also, the chat also. Yes, I did not read. I didn't finish reading the article before. I just found out about the article before. I didn't have time to look at it, guys. I'm sorry. I had an odd day today. I went to the doctor, and they gave me some pain block injections, six in my neck. So I've been kind of laying down and out of it all afternoon. And because I didn't have a ride, they didn't give me the crazy anesthesia they normally do. So I've been on a steady diet of morphine sulfate this morning, early afternoon, and they switched the Motrin for the show. So I have a cognizant to work. What was that?
Sounds fun!
Yes.
Oh, wow. Colors.
I tried to lay down today. I tried to lay down early, and the phone kept ringing, and just like neighbors. Hold on. Triple H, you lied. In the chat, I asked last week, Triple H took off with the table, our snack table, before the show started, before the show ended, rather. And now he's giving me the story about a bus or whatever, and I just, this is what he said in the forum on the Titan Network. Really? You trading that huge table for a box of Timbits and a cappuccino? Well, no snacks for you tonight. We're sorry. He gets nothing.
I'm sitting here munching on tater chips.
I figured as much. I figured that's why you were so quiet.
Yum.
Triple. That was some other Triple H. Did you hear this? Did you hear this? Could have at least asked for that. Everybody's against. All right. So anybody, we have some other news I could get into. I know. All right. To be fair, you know, we're talking about all the, various games that are coming out that everybody's working on. Oh God. Sorry, maybe that local did kick. And I know that the Phoenix Project, a.k.a. City of Titans, is the big news. But to be fair, of course, you know, Heroes and Villains, they always put their recent update up like an hour, 2 hours after our show goes off air. So I'm going to read last week's update. This is update number 44. And then we get back into all things City of Titans. All right, this is from Golden Girl on October 4th, Friday, update number 44. This week, we've been refining some of the design details for the player housing and base systems with the intention of making both of them play a significant functional role and not just be a cosmetic extras. Because of this, all players will be given access to their own personal housing space at a very early level, which will then serve as their anchor in the game world. Players will also still retain their own housing, even if they later decide to start or join a supergroup. While both personal housing and base is sharing the same basic functions, so that no one will feel that they must join a supergroup. In addition, although personal housing and bases have increased functionality, it will still be possible for players to ignore them. They can simply not join a supergroup and never visit their personal housing without a significant decrease in their gameplay experience. Initially, player housing customization will be more limited than base customization. Housing is tied to specific locations in Titan City, so the rooms, size, and layout of the housing will reflect that fact, with an emphasis on apartments and other traditional urban living spaces. As the game expands and more zone area added, including non-urban ones, the diversity of player housing customization will increase. As bases can be located anywhere, the level of customization from them will be much larger right from the start, with an emphasis on extreme design freedom. And of course, as always, have a heroic film this weekend, the Heroes and Villains team. Well, I think that's very cool. So we start the game, you have your own little pad, your own little place to hang out, and then if you join a group, you go to the super base. So I think this combines, like, Champions Online, where everybody has their own little base, no matter what. Well, not no matter what, you know. And then, you know, the super group base from our beloved City of Heroes. So I think that's awesome. I think that's very cool. Thank you, Heroes and Villains, for that update.
I just want you to know I'm very, very sad right now, but honest, it's mainly because my tater chips are gone.
Well, you should have ordered a second bag.
I know. Why don't I ever do that?
Was it a big bag or a little bag?
Or pace yourself better.
No, it wasn't a bag. It was a styrofoam container of them from Zaxby's.
Oh, okay. Was it a little container or a big container?
It was a pretty big container.
You should have got a second one anyway. Just it's Friday night, dude. You know you're going to want every snack's out Friday nights. Unless you're going out.
Well, they're the kind that they actually slice the potatoes up and fry them, so they're kind of, you know, they're hot. And...
Oh, well, you know what my new thing is? I take the potatoes and slice them like that, but then I bake them in the oven.
Oh, you could do that, too.
And they're awesome that way. I did that yesterday.
You can also microwave them to make potato chips.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about them. I never get them, I don't know. Every time they're always soft in the middle, and I'm not crazy about that. These come out crunchy. They come out nice and crunchy, so.
If you want to do it in the microwave, there are special plastic molded holders that'll hold the slices up on edge so they get crispier.
Okay. I will have to try that.
So City of Titans Kickstarter. It's up to $405,940 screaming dollars.
That's right. And with one more backer, they will have achieved 2,800 backers.
2,800 backers.
My goodness, people. Come on now. All right. I'm going to say this now. If anybody would care to join us on air with me and Tony V and Sean here, you have one of two ways of doing so. You could either call in at 646-478-0073, or if you're in the chat room like so many of you are tonight, thank you guys, you scroll to the top of the page. There is a blue square with a white S in the middle that stands for Skype. You click on that, and that's a free call into the studio. And as I've always said, free is good in today's economy.
Did you say free?
Free! Free! And that's a good four-letter F word.
Plus, if you act now, you'll get this genuine strand of faux pearls absolutely free.
And if you call now, you will get a big box of nothing. But it's a big box.
I'm looking at this Kick Track site. Do you look at it where they show you like the trend and all that kind of stuff? The daily data?
Yes, I had that up before, and I closed. I use that for some reason. I don't have the direct link to the Phoenix project. For some reason, when I opened the Kick Track, I saved that, and I don't know why. I guess they felt it was redundant for me to have the Kick Track and the actual Kickstarter page. Because go to Kick Track, you can just click on the project. So.
Lucky for you, I have a bookmark.
Oh, lucky for you, I'm almost there. I have the bookmark, so. Kick Track.
I'm always a little amused. You would think that after, I mean, how many Kickstarter funds do they track, right?
All.
I mean, you can sort of get an idea of, you know, the first day, people are going to be funding it like mad.
Yes.
The first week, it'll probably, you know, you'll get a lot of takers and everything. When you get close to the goal, you're going to get, you know, that close to the goal bump. You know, everybody's going to be, you know, pitching in to get it over the mark.
Right.
And then it'll sort of slow down. I mean, it's not a linear progression, right? But the first day I looked at it, it's like they had it plotted it out, you know, linear progression. And you know, based on the first day's total, they were estimating that it was going to get somewhere in the neighborhood of, like, $9 million.
Oh, yeah, I remember. I was like, damn, if they do that, holy smokes. They should get I think at that point, every who donated X amount of money should get, like, a free year of subscriptions.
And then as time goes on, you know, they've got the little
It goes down, right.
The trend chart, you know, and so on the first day, yeah, it was $5 million on the first day. Then it was down to like $3.4 million on the second day.
Oh, I have it, yeah.
And then about $2.7 million. This is the trend now, not the total.
Right.
Look at the trend. Look at the projection.
I know the projection is the trend is what, $1.5 million or just under $1.5 million.
Yeah, the trend right now, it's trending towards, according to Kick Track, $1.379 million.
Oh, and here is the projected range by the end of it. They're projecting anywhere from, based on numbers right now, anywhere from $842,565 to $1,448,428.
But you see what I'm saying? I mean, that's a linear progression. At least the lower range is. The top one looks like it's actually slightly exponential.
That could have been it.
But you would think that they would be able to nail this down, that, you know, like, as you get closer to the goal, like within 24 hours of the goal, that you're going to get a bump or some percentage of the goal. You're going to get a bump from people, you know, trying to push it over. Sure enough, on that day six, I mean, holy crap. I mean, they got...
Yeah, I know. If we get any, okay, guys, we have another caller I'm bringing on.
Oh, awesome.
From down under, the awesome Aussie himself, B-Man, is here.
You're going to be very... Dude, you got to be very careful when you say stuff like that, because people will be like, people that aren't used to the Australian stereotype or don't know anything about Australia would automatically assume you're saying down under. Wait, he's coming under from sex? Like what? I don't know.
This is a very knowledgeable crowd. They know when I say, you know, I should say from the land down under. I'm sorry, I forgot those two words. The land down under.
That's right.
Do you come from the land down under?
Well, obviously, if I'm from Australia, yes.
Oh, okay.
That's just
well,
common knowledge.
Grow and then where? I think that was a men at work reference.
Oh, was it a men at work reference? Oh, okay.
Yeah, did you ever listen to Men at Work, Colin Hay?
Yeah, sorry. If you went with a line of like... I smiled and gave him a Vegemite sandwich, I would have gotten it. I would have been like, what?
Actually, somebody in the chat just said, somebody craving a Vegemite sandwich.
Yeah, you know.
Okay, and we do have another caller, oh my God. Another caller on hold. Just give me a second, guys. So, B-Man, what can we do for you tonight, brother? What's going on?
Oh, no, I'm just listening to what you guys are talking about, and I'll pipe in whenever I do something that I actually know.
Okay.
So that's actually October 12th there right now.
Yes. I'm from the future.
Can you tell me what the weather's going
to
be like?
Well, I always do this to people. Go look up the sports scores and let me know, and I'll go put money on it. We'll split it with you.
Yeah, what are the lottery numbers, man? Yeah.
Okay, what the hell?
I
we have
wish
that
I knew. Trust me, you would be... if I actually was from the future, I'd be the first one using the fucking lottery numbers.
Well, no, because you can't come back to the past. I'm in the past. It's like we have a phone line. You have a phone line to the past, so.
Oh, God. Can we not, like, make this, like, a fucking lake house reference or anything? Like, fucking hell.
Sorry. Oh, I wasn't going. I'm sorry. All right, Cole, you're on the air.
That me?
206?
That's you.
I guess.
Okay, wow. Hey, Nate Downs. Dr. Tyke, Missing Worlds Media.
Hey, how are you? You guys must be absolutely excited right now.
Not as busy as we were 2 weeks ago, but still pretty darn busy to let anything sink in yet.
Yeah, true. So, all right, seriously, let's honest answer here. Did you think it was going to happen this quick, getting the money, that much money that fast?
In our wildest dreams, yes, but in reality, no. We figured we'd be at about the halfway point right now, honestly.
Wow.
I'll tell you, on a scale of 1 to 10, this rate's about 406,020. I'm just saying.
And we do have our 2,800 backer.
Yes, indeed we do.
2,800? Are you kidding me? Come on, Wait, hold on. Where is it? It's not playing. 2,800 backers.
You need Kermit in there going, yay!
I know we should get that.
Funny part is I used to work for a guy named Kermit. So.
Really?
There's actually someone out there named Kermit. That's scary.
That's funny.
Yeah. See, great marketing guy.
If I ever have a son now, I'm going to have to name him Kermit. That's not so bad. If I have a daughter, I'll have to name her Miss Piggy, and that's probably a little more awkward, but, you know.
Yeah, that would be more awkward, yeah.
And not to mention that child would need therapy for many, many years.
Nah. Everybody would think it was adorable.
Yes. As long as you dress them in green.
Why the hell would you dress Miss Piggy in green for?
Oh, Miss Piggy, I think it's a Kermit. I think it's a Kermit. Miss Piggy, oh my God, she better be thin. Oh my God.
I don't know, whenever I think of Kermit, I think of the old protocol that you used to use to transfer files and data over modems.
We're using that.
You lost me there, I'm sorry. I don't...
When I hear Kermit, I think of the frog, but I can't also... I also think of the protocol. There was a protocol back in the 80s that they used. It was a file transfer protocol.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. You know, it's funny. My stepdad was into computer, you know, in the computer industry from UNIVAC days, and I never heard him mention Kermit at all.
Well, yeah, it wasn't that popular.
Oh, okay. There you go. Well,
yeah, good old dial-up on a 2400 baud modem. Yeah.
It wasn't that popular, Rich, but it made it onto your fucking show.
I guess so. If it's obscure, it'll find its way on this show somehow. Any one of my shows will wind up on.
Well, Google it. You'll see it in Wikipedia. There's an article on the Kermit protocol.
You think they have it on Wikipedia?
Absolutely.
I don't know. I hear there's not much on Wikipedia.
If only there were some vast, you know, library of human knowledge that you could go look these things up on.
So that's just crazy sci-fi talk.
Edit it to make sure it works right.
That's just crazy talk.
So,
all right.
So
yeah, let's get back to our guest here. Go ahead.
So you guys are going to have a lot of cash in the bank there. What are your priorities when this thing funds? Because you don't actually have. I think this is a common misunderstanding with the Kickstarter. You don't actually have the money in the bank yet. It's not going to be in there until they actually they fund it and process it and everything, and that's going to happen on November the 4th.
Right.
And even then, that takes 2 weeks after that. So.
So we're looking at Thanksgiving, USA America Thanksgiving, more or less.
Yep.
Well,
then we start setting up all the. Thankfully, Autodesk now has a great management tool for managing licenses for diverse and remote people. So we've got to get those allocated. Then
cool.
Go to Adobe, get their allocated. Contact Epic to pay our, you know. Our licensing fees and all that.
That'll be cool. I noticed they posted a tweet congratulating you on funding. I thought that was really nice of them. Epic actually did.
That's cool.
Actually, what's really funny is they messaged us on Thursday. It's like, hey, we're going to try putting you over the top by sending out a tweet on Monday. And that morning,
wow.
I got a message back. It's like, we kind of had to change the message. It's like, yeah.
That's okay.
So. They're all cleaning. They're great guys to work with.
Yeah, you know, there's I won't mention names, but I know at least one Paragon Studios person who's at Epic now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can you give us a hint?
No.
Okay.
His well. Name has vowels and consonants and
No, I know who you're talking about. I know.
I don't know that it's a state secret or anything, but in case you don't want people to know. But, yeah, someone who moved across the country to work there, in fact.
Wow.
But,
he gave us a hint.
But, yeah, they're pretty cool. I saw that tweet, and I thought, man, that'll get them a bump. I think they did get a bump out of the Epic tweet, which was pretty cool. So are they going to... So when you license the engine, do they help you with development at all? I mean, do they have, like, resources available that if you get stuck on something, you can call them up and say, hey, how do you get this thing to render? I'm trying to get this light source, and I can't get it to work right.
Well, they first have a gigantic library.
Or is it just
kind of,
hey, here's the source code, go nuts.
Well, they have a gigantic development network already. So, you know. Pre-made code examples, large forums, people on it, quite a lot there. And they've got people to talk to if anybody gets stuck on anything as well. So they really support they support their customer base, which are the game developers using it. So they really do stick to it.
Very cool. And they've got clients for, obviously, they got a Windows client. They got a Mac OS client. What other kind of clients are you, I mean, do they have mobile clients? Is that what you're, are you going to use their, some scaled down version of their engine for the Android and iOS software?
Correct. They've got iOS, they've got Android clients already. I mean, you can actually go right on Android Google Market and look up Epic Cathedral, or Epic Citadel, that's what it's called. They actually have a little demo of the Unreal Engine running on Android that you can download onto your phone.
Cute.
Runs pretty nice, too.
Cool. Now, I have a question. You have to forgive me, I'm out of it, a little bit out of it today. Now, the funding, that was supposed to be also for hardware or just all the software?
Mostly for software. We had a few hardware items in there for specific purposes, like to get on Android, you need to have a couple phones to test it against. Because,
okay.
You know, I've developed some minor apps for myself before, and you'd make one that would work great on one phone but ran like crap on another.
Oh, okay.
So you need to have ones to test against. Getting on Mac Heart on Macs, so obviously you have to have a couple to test it on.
Right, okay.
It's going to be fun.
Cool. I find this part interesting because I never knew this aspect of it. So the last time I did anything computer-wise was way back in high school. And that was the Pascal and Fortran and Bobel.
Yikes. Pascal.
It was an AP class. I was in it, and I got in an argument with the teacher didn't like us because we had a computer club where it was the beginnings of social networking, where we could talk to other schools. And I don't know why, he just thought that, I swear, he said, that's not the use for computers. You shouldn't be using it to talk to other people with. I laugh now. I wish I could find this guy. Remember when you said that back then? And I swear to God, all of a sudden, my final project went missing, and he failed me for the class. And
that was nice.
Yeah, and there was a big to-do to the point where every who signed up for his class for the next semester found out, and they all bailed, and I found out later on they had to cancel the class because he couldn't get anybody to sign up for it.
Shame on him.
I had a professor in college who was fired the quarter after I took his class. He didn't know what he was just woefully unskilled in what he was teaching. It was bad.
I love those teachers. But now, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I distinctly remember this. He had a TA though who was an idiot, and she used to do all the assignments and everything.
Right.
And we had, I specifically remember we had this project where we had to implement a C++ class to handle complex numbers.
Okay.
And they gave you this list of functions you're supposed to implement to do stuff like add and subtract and multiply and all that kind of stuff. Well, being kind of a C++ guy, you know, already, I mean, I knew the language well before I took the class. I just had to get the credits for it. So I go through and I define, you know, the operator plus and the operator minus and the operator asterisk and operator, you know, to get to implement all the functions.
Right.
And she failed me on it. And I ask her, I'm like, why did you fail me? I mean, everything works perfectly. And she didn't like the fact that I had overloaded the operators because she said that it would confuse people with the built-in operators.
Huh.
And I'm like, that's what you're supposed to do.
So basically you got, yeah, wait, Tony, you got, you, go ahead, go ahead.
What was that?
John, go ahead.
Just for multiplying a complex number with a real one?
Yeah, I mean, her rationale was that the operators, the built-in operators, should only be used on built-in types, that you should never overload operators.
Oh, my God.
C++. Yeah, I'm like, that goes against, like, every principle of C++.
So basically she was giving you an F in C++?
She was giving me an F in C++, and it
that doesn't sound
up very much.
Wow, that's like PDP 11 stuff where you have to worry about that. Wow.
So basically, you were doing, all right, I never took C++. So basically, you were doing what C++ is supposed to do, and she failed you.
Yeah, there's a mechanism in C++ called operator overloading. And what it does is if you define your own type,
right,
you can define the operator like plus, minus, and asterisk, and slash, and, you know, there are a handful of others to operate on your type. So if you have your own user defined type like complex numbers, you can define a plus operator to operate on two complex numbers or a complex number and a real or whatever. And the reason they do that is so that when you define your type, it's a lot easier to use otherwise you'd have to call a function, you know, like add or something like that that takes two complex numbers. And it's just a little more intuitive if you can just say, you know, define two complex numbers, A, you know, or that's a bad example because A and B is part of the, but like I and J, and say, you know, X equals I plus J instead of X equals add, you know, in parentheses I comma J.
All right, so, Rich, pretty much just a long story short, just so I know I'm catching up with all the fucking nerd talk here. So pretty much, the dude got failed because he didn't overload the teacher with his operator. Is that what I'm hearing?
Pretty much. I mean, I had a teacher's assistant and a professor who didn't understand C++.
Apparently no one got the sexual innuendo there.
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry, say that again.
It's like, so he got failed for not overloading her with his operator.
Oh my.
That's why you got,
you know, what can I say? I mean,
Tony, how dare you overload her?
But
in public, no less.
I managed to get a C out of that class because I convinced the stupid professor that to let me just go in and replace all the operators with functions instead. And I was so mad, and they fired him the next quarter.
And wait, so did you get a failing grade for the whole thing?
Well, he let me redo the lab, and the teacher's assistant gave me a C on it.
Oh, so you got a C in C++.
Because it was late at that point. I was so mad, though, because it was like, I'm getting bad grades because you don't understand.
You don't understand the language you're teaching?
I was pretty ticked off about that.
I can imagine. I would be also.
But it was the first quarter that they were offering, or first semester they were offering C++ as a language. Up until then, they'd always taught everything in Pascal. So this guy knew Pascal really well.
Wow.
So, anyway.
Okay, so my question was about the Kickstarter. Have you guys thought now, since you have more money, would you actually go in and upgrade the hardware you're going to use now? Like, I know you guys had some hardware, a goal for, like, you were looking at some hardware. Would you, if the money was really that much more than you anticipated, would you actually go and get better hardware than what you expected to get? Or just stick with what you had planned?
We might get, for instance, we might get a central rendering machine, for instance, to do light maps.
Ooh.
Make us faster so we can get the levels compiled faster, for instance. But, that, you know, we don't really need to upgrade, like, everybody's laptop or anything like that. We just,
right,
extra money, you know, best to go into things that will appear on screen.
Okay.
You know, licensing things. I mean, we've got our freelance artists, we can get them to do things for us really quickly or purchase assets, things like that.
So it goes up and up, Mike. It's like, man, I mean, you know, it's like, great. Like, does Kickstarter ever question, like, okay, guys, you had this much money set up, you want this much, and now you have this much extra, what are you going to do with the extra? Like, I don't even know how Kickstarter, what their end is.
Not that I've ever seen. I mean, I saw one guy got something like 3,000% what he asked for.
Wow.
It was incredible. Admittedly, he asked for $1.
Oh, okay.
Let me check how much. Let me see how much he actually got, because that was actually kind of funny, because he said, I'm making this game. I'm making it whether you want me to or not. But if you guys want to donate, I'll add extra features. So everything was stretch goals.
Very cool.
Well, that was actually one of my concerns is, and I certainly didn't mean to, you know, to diss you guys, but when I thought you were asking for $320,000, I was like, oh my gosh, man, couldn't ask for something like $100,000 to make sure it'll fund, and then.
You silly boy, what were you worried about?
I was, you know, what can I say? I wrote up a big Facebook post on it, you know, basically saying, whoops.
I'm so silly. I'm sorry, guys.
I missed that call. But in hindsight,
yeah,
I'm glad
I
you came.
I threw the link in the chat. If you want to see.
Energy hook.
Huh?
But yeah, look at the percentage on that one.
$1.
Oh, okay. Oh, here it is. Okay. Energy hook.
It got to something like 44.
Wow. He's got $41,535 of a pledged $1 goal. Damn.
But it's a fun little game too. I've been watching, been following it. So
I wonder what kind of extras did he have? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just. What can he come up with? He just put it up. It's kind of neat.
Oculus Rift support. Are you gonna build an Oculus Rift support?
I would like an Oculus Rift support.
I'm afraid that is one thing we haven't even thought about. Because
hold on.
Honestly, when
I
we began
should,
everything.
I think you should sell an add-on that's like this big fan that you can turn on so that you can actually literally hover in your living room.
Tony.
Yeah.
What's Oculus Rift?
Oh, it's the 3D virtual reality goggles.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that's what it was called.
Yeah, but
sorry.
It's like everybody goes, hey, are you going to go on? And they'll throw in something like Oculus Rift or Ouya or Steambox. Or it's amazing people that come out and be like, hey, we want you to be on our platform. We need to get our initial targets done first.
Yeah.
Look, as long as you manage to come out with the Atari 2600 cartridge, I'll be fine.
Oh, that will be awesome, man. I think this game will be so awesome with Atari 2600 graphics.
There's another condition Oculus Rift you might want to look at somewhere down the line, and that's TrackIR.
I've not heard that one.
That one uses a sensor that sits on your monitor and a set of reflectors that you wear either as a widget that's attached to your headphones or on a hat and watches your head movement.
Huh.
Their website is naturalpoint.com, and I believe the SDK is free for developers.
Oh, bookmark it for later. Take a look. Huh.
It probably isn't want to do immediately, but somewhere down the line it might be worth doing.
Something to take
so
a look at, definitely.
You guys are shooting for November 2015, right?
That's the goal. Now, that's not final release. That's full availability. So that's when we're aiming to get the open beta out. Because I know fully well it's going to probably be time betaing, making sure everything goes well, finding where the problems are, redoing. Oh. And between now and then, we hope to get the avatar builder out as well. So get people in and, well, at least making the nice, pretty costumes to play around with.
I think that would be cool. I think you would like them if you get the avatar builder done.
Particularly with the Android and iOS versions being ideal ways to suck people into the game. Here, take a look at this.
That's the idea.
All right, we have a question from the audience in the chat room. Will there be any play servers in the interim for the players to enjoy? Example, Alpha Play?
Nothing we're prepared to talk about yet on that front.
Ooh, okay. All right, B-Man had to take off. All right. So nothing you could divulge at this time?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Well, this is really cool. So talking about license management, so let's say you go out and buy a copy of 3D Studio Max, and I feel your pain with how expensive that is. What is the retail of that? Something like $4,000 just for one piece of software.
Good Lord.
Yeah. And that's for the basic version. If you got the deluxe one, that can go over $10,000.
It's pretty insane. So what if, like, that's allocated to, I don't know, Hank, and Hank works on the project for 3 months and then decides, hey, you know, I'm kind of busy doing other stuff, so thanks, guys. I'm going to head on out. I mean, do you guys have the means to say, okay, well, Hank's license is no longer good?
Well, actually, Autodesk introduced this earlier this month, in fact, what they call Autodesk Rental, which is you pay for the software and you have X number of seats, but you can shuffle the seats around different accounts.
Voting license.
Okay.
So Hank goes, I don't want to be part of it anymore. Okay, no problem. Take Hank's copy, pull it down, and give it over to Aaron or Philip or whoever needs a copy.
So Hank, Aaron, wait a minute, that's someone else. and Adobe has that too, don't they?
With their exactly. Mm-hmm. It's actually a really innovative idea, and it makes doing this a heck of a lot easier.
And if they were more local, they'd be able to do it even more effectively, because the way a floating license works is that you can have X number of copies active, so the person actually using it can change from minute to minute.
Yeah, that's another option as well.
You can install five different computers, and as long as only one person was using it at a time, you would only be using one license.
Right.
Well, very
and
cool.
That
would certainly lend itself well to a project like this, where everything's sort of decentralized.
Yeah, I mean, we got people all the way out in Germany to Australia, so.
We need to get
a few people in India.
Oh, and time out, guys. Tony, somebody in the chat says they can't hear you. Almost sounds staticky.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
It's coming across to me like you're overloading your microphone.
And we have another question. Will the basic combat style be similar to COH's, as in tab to target and hotkeys to attack, or more active and reflex-based, as in blocking keys and manually lining up attacks?
Honestly, for the active and reflex-based, you've got DC Universe Online. You know.
Okay.
But we're not aiming for that. We want the classic COH, tab to target, hotkeys to attack. We've come up with a couple ideas to, you know, give a couple other options in there as well, like tabbing to target. You can have near to far, far to near. Also have an idea somebody came up with of a cursor in the middle, that little target rectangle, and it's tabbed to whatever's nearest to that. You know, a couple options in there, but it's tab to target and hotkeys.
The problem with making it based that I saw was that you start losing the older and youngest portions of the audience, the people that don't have the twitch skills or the coordination.
Exactly. And we want this to be open and available to people.
That's cool. Now, I have a question. It's a personal preference I have. My main character since day one was a martial artist in the game. With the graphics, I know that when COH, they did a kind of a graphics update to martial arts where they had different animations available.
Mm-hmm.
My thing was, for every tier power in martial arts, I always felt like there should be like a punch or a hand attack, and then you could change the animation to a leg/kick version of that same attack.
You didn't read Kickstarter updates.
What was that?
You didn't read the Kickstarter updates.
Oh.
Describe
is it?
Yeah,
covered that last night.
Oh, hell. I didn't read last. All right. I don't know if you heard before. I went for pain block injection shots this morning, six in my neck. So last night I wasn't on the computer that much. I was just trying to get stuff done around here because I knew I wasn't going to be able to get much done in the next 2 days. So.
No worries.
All right.
You know.
I'll go look.
But yeah, we actually covered this last night. We actually were talking about how, you know, we basically took animation and divorced it from the powers themselves. The power triggers the animation, but we can swap around to change which animation it triggers.
Okay.
So you can have the punch, kick, hit somebody upside the head with a bat, or, you know, even have something, I'm trying to come up with some weird one I could throw at. It's like, man, I can't even think of anything. Maybe hit him over the head with a rock. I don't know.
Okay, good. Because I know last weekend when you guys did that very cool the live stream with the artwork, I asked that question in the chat there after our show last week.
I'll grab an update for you here.
Yeah, I got it. I just found it. Ooh, I'll have to read this later. It looks very cool.
Yeah, I even put in a screenshot of the pigeon shot, as we called it.
Literally a pigeon shot.
So of the Kickstarter video and some of the other things we've seen, how much of that is stock assets out of the Unreal Engine, and have you guys actually started putting your own custom artwork into the engine and seeing how it works?
We have some of our own custom things already in there. Let's actually use our last night's update as a perfect example of that. You've got, you know, we got your shot here. You've got the stonework, that's actually a off-the-shelf texture pack that's available for the Unreal Engine. Doesn't come with Unreal, but it's available for it. The woman on the left is a stock model. The man on the right is our model, but the bird on the right is a stock model. The woman's from Mixamo, is a animation company. The bird came with the Unreal Engine, and man is, well, our man, made by Oz, great guy. Does some really great work in his very limited time.
Cool. Okay, we do have another question, if that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Will there be any video updates anytime soon? They love being able to see the stuff.
We are working on I'm working on one video update, and I know we've got at least two more interview updates planned as well.
Very cool.
I think we got one more footage update. I'm not certain. I better check on that.
Cool.
I know we got at least three more videos planned for this. So
do we get to see Quinn again?
Do we get to see Quinn again? Everybody really responded to her. I don't know.
Yeah, we can't get enough of Quinn.
Yeah, she's a she's a sweetheart. She's a great woman to work with. I've nothing but praise for her.
Ooh, what is that?
Apparently, the actress who plays Snow White and the actor who plays Prince Charming on Once Upon a Time are now engaged to be married.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just thought I'd throw that little nugget in there. So, I guess my question to Nate is, how does Missing World Media feel about that?
That's a toughie.
A lot of thought put into that.
Well, as long as they don't have seven kids, I think they're good. Because that would just be too weird.
Set up. when they're all 2 years old and following them around.
Because you,
well, you know,
if that happened, everybody would be start going, hi-ho, hi-ho.
Well, did you know that Sansa, the actress who plays Sansa from Game of Thrones, actually adopted her wolf?
Yeah, I did know that.
In real life, yep, she adopted it.
That's pretty cool. I read about actors doing that kind of stuff every once in a while.
I think that's cool when actors get to, you know, they do make a good couple. That's why I was wondering. So. All right. Any more questions from the chat? Anyone?
Well, I had one question regarding what the extent of what you can do with the Everything Looks Better in Plaid add-on.
Oh, the Everything Looks Better in Plaid add-on. That one was actually surprisingly popular.
There was something that I tried to get the Paragon Studios people interested in doing a couple of times. If you remember the Tech Sleek armor design.
Mm-hmm.
Had armor plates and what looks like something like chainmail underneath that for the flexible parts. And the Tech Sleek colored the armor plates and the undergarment separately.
Right.
But if you apply like camouflage, it just washed completely across all the pieces.
Oh,
yeah, I remember
Omega.
That.
Tony?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can see the chat. Joel Garcia just says he wants to tell you that his 10 cents on the way, he lost a bet with you that the Kickstarter will be fully funded by noon on the Monday following its launch.
That's true. We had some bets going on, and what can I say? I mean, he just lost it completely, and I was just, my skepticism paid off. He said that it would fully fund by noon on Monday, and it was actually closer to 1 p.m., so, you know, sorry, man.
See, you skeptics.
I tell you. Yeah, I told him the week before, I'm like, yeah, you're crazy. There's no way this is going to fund by noon on Monday. It's going to be at least Wednesday.
I think you're going to say it's at least 12:30.
So what I
so,
get them interested in was taking the pattern from Tech Sleek to make the undergarment uncolorable.
Yeah, that's so, actually really easy to do.
So the camouflage would only apply to the plates. And I put if you can see the chat, I put a link there to an image I did in PaintShop Pro of what that would look like.
Yeah, I remember they said, and yes, there, it is possible to do that. Actually pretty darn easy to do that. Actually, I think everybody will be really happy with the way the texturing system comes out.
So this game, one thing I've noticed about the Unreal Engine is it's a lot more, I guess, at least capable of being more photorealistic than City of Heroes was, which City of Heroes kind of set its apart. It was sort of set apart from other MMORPGs in that it was a lot more realistic looking than something like Champions Online, which has that sort of comic-y, cel-shaded sort of style, or World of Warcraft, which was like sort of a, I hate to say anime style, but you know what I mean. I mean, it's not photorealistic. And so far, I guess you guys are kind of shooting more towards that photorealistic sort of style than sort of a cel-shaded or an anime or that kind of style.
Yeah, I know what you mean there.
Which is cool. I mean, it looks very, very cool. I think that's one of the appeals of City of Heroes, is that it's easier to kind of imagine these people as being real, actual people and not, you know,
cartoon.
Just screen avatars.
I got you. We do have a question. Another question. we doing fingers or mittens for hands? I'm just curious.
Hold on here. I missed that part a little bit. Mittens
okay.
or fingers? Absolutely. We are having fingers.
Oh, and Joel Garcia, a.k.a. Mr. Wentworth, would like to know, serious question, can he own the auction house?
Technically, yes, if you go with the right tier of, perk tier thingy, donation level.
Oh.
This doesn't mean you get a cut of everything, but it means that you can, set the name, put the NPC in it, all that fun stuff, and have a hidden base in it.
Wow,
I'm now imagining the stock. I'm imagining the stock room floor of the Wall Street going on, and like, oh goodness, this is going to be fun.
Question I had for about this costume: is this something that you're already planning to be able to do with the costume designer, or would this be something that I would have to use the Everything Looks Better in Plaid for?
This is something we're already planning on with the costume designer.
Okay, and that lets me decide to bump up my pledge since it was either this or Mogul.
You kind of faded out at the end there.
I couldn't afford both, so.
I still cannot make that out.
Say
it
one more time.
This or what?
Mogul.
Mogul. Yeah, that's, selecting a building.
Yeah,
so we've had people ask, can I have a university building or can I have an arena? And like, if you really want. Just save us having to come up with ideas for them.
There you go. All right, another question. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say you have another question, so have at it.
Thank you. The next question is, how much will we be able to go into our characters' backstories? Will it be more than just writing a 1,024 character bio?
We haven't made a final decision on that, but I'm pushing for more of a... trying to come up with the best way to describe it. Being able to come up with... Like, we have a website that you can actually describe your hero on and have it transferred into the game and vice versa. So things you do get transferred out and stuff like that. A little bit more interactive and being able to have a lot more information listed as you go on.
Oh, one of the things that I discovered in Save Heroes that wasn't clear when it started, will you be supporting Unicode in the chat and for all your text input?
Unicode. Yes, actually what we're using for a chat system, and we're actually already been using it internally for several months now, is a standard XMPP chat system. Same thing Jabber and Facebook chat and Google Talk all use.
One of the things I had a lot of fun with, it happened randomly. I saw someone with the three characters DLYA in Cyrillic in chat, which is four in Russian. I don't know what that is. And I wound up having a lot of fun with making a whole bunch of chat vines in other scripts like Russian and Japanese that as appropriate to the character for additional characterization.
Yeah, I mean,
one thing you might want to be careful with that, though, is you could have somebody use... letters that look like Latin letters, but they're not actually Latin letters. So if somebody tries to send you a tell, they're actually going to be sending it to someone else.
They still be restricted to the Latin character set. But I'm talking about down in the chat for the actual text of the chats.
For the text of the chat, I could imagine it would be a lot more leeway. But, since you pointed that out about it using XMPP, it sort of begs the question, you know where I'm going to go with this, right? If you're using XMPP for chat in the game, Would that allow you to chat with people outside the game?
Yeah, that's kind of why we chose it.
Cool.
You know, somebody, say, is playing around with their avatar builder, has a question for somebody that's in-game, they don't have to log themselves back in, ask a question, then log themselves back out. Good way to coordinate, too.
I would love to see a much more functional website than City of Heroes ever had. I mean, that was sort of one of my pet peeves, is that you couldn't see, you know, who your friends were online and that sort of stuff. You couldn't chat with people and you couldn't manage your character. It was all just sort of, you know, you had in-game and you had out-of-game. And there have been some games I've played, like Neverwinter has a nice little... can't remember what they call it now, but a nice little web interface where you can manage your character and do various things. I still don't think you can chat, but the more sort of offline stuff, including like mobile apps maybe, the better, I think the more engaged people would be with the game.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the direction that has been happening in this market since World of Warcraft came out. I mean, if you ever actually check out the Warcraft website, I can go on there, check the guy that I made for the, like, 3 months I played it. I can still pull up all his specs. It's still up there. I can see which guild he was in, which, you know, where I logged off with him. It's amazing.
Speaking of WoW, any plans to down the road come up with the same kind of deal like Blizzard has with Figureprints?
We're not anywhere near coming up with that yet. They can do that a lot easier because they have, you know, one body for everybody.
I don't expect it to happen before the game comes out or even in the first year after the game comes out. But that always seemed to me to be the various money-making opportunities that NCSoft is utterly blind to.
It's something we would like to do, but it's nothing we can promise any time in the first, you know, anytime soon.
I definitely would like to see more merchandising taken advantage of, even if it's not Figureprints, but even if it's something along the lines of like plushies and pins and bat, like actual bat, you know, badges you can collect and souvenirs and that sort of stuff. T-shirts.
You know how much I've wanted to get myself a blaster T-shirt. I saw one person with it, and I wanted to get one ever since. And I, you know, they only made like 100 of them.
I never crazy.
I think that the first $30 or $40 of this $406,400 should be spent on getting you a T-shirt.
We'll be sending out enough of those.
$106,000 for my project, and all I got was the stupid T-shirt. Some copies of $4,000 software.
Tony?
Yeah,
Joel work. Garcia in the chat says, Tony, you're supposed to volunteer to take on the online store part. He'll help you.
Hey, Nate, I think Joel and I are going to do the online store part.
Oh, okay.
Okay, what is this? Oh, okay. Radio Free
okay,
Harvester. Sorry, go ahead.
I said, okay, he says.
Okay.
No need to run that past the group.
Yeah. Radio Free Harvester says, how is this for blind? A company who's managed it is such a bunch of effete snobs that $2 million a year in clear profits wasn't enough incentive to keep operating the game. I've heard this somewhere before.
That's what sort of made me mad about the whole shutdown. It wasn't that the game wasn't making money. It's that the game apparently wasn't making enough money. And it's like, you're going to kick a community to the curb because it's not making enough money? Come on, guys.
Concerning two of their favorite games weren't making any money?
Yes. Well, I'm not bitter. Twitch.
All right. Colonel Mandrake, I want to be able to buy each badge I get in-game. $5 a pop. I buy them 100-plus badges in the game. There's some income. I'm sure I'm not the only one. Oh, I see what he's saying. For every badge you earn in the game, you want to be able to buy a physical badge. He could put it on a sash.
Yeah, put it on like pins and stuff. You can
Man, my wall would be full if I did that. Holy smokes. Right, as in a real life badge. That would be awesome. I think you should do that. This is brilliant.
That is actually kind of brilliant. It's like, hey.
Okay, but if you do that, I think Colonel Mandrake should get a discount because he came up with it. So.
Hey, now, I mentioned it a few minutes ago. Thank you very much.
Okay, I think Tony should get commission off it, too, since he mentioned it.
I will forego my commission.
LT Cooper says, oh, no, don't suggest it. I was such a badge whore. I had like, oh, my God, I had like 12,000 badges. Holy shit. Boy, the money you make off the badge whores.
Have you checked to see how many people have gone for geocacher now currently on ours?
No, I have a lot, right?
Just shy of 150.
Mm. How much is the geocacher one?
250. Make your own badge.
I don't have it. I'm sorry. My funds are very limited, but I will be.
Some people have messaged in what they'd like to do for the badges, and it's amazing the innovation and the ideas they come up with.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, one I got the other day was somebody who wanted to have a badge in the middle of the ocean with one of those, like the Chinese arch symbol. You know the little arches they have in the middle of the ocean type thing in Japan?
Yes, okay.
Yeah, one of those with a little badge, and she had like this big, long history about this particular location. It was like, wow.
The Torii Gate.
A little novel and beautiful.
Oh, okay. Tony, really quick, I'm going to catch everybody up on the chat. Joel says, I could totally help with setting that up as long as Tony helps.
Hey, I can, you know, as long as my work will permit it, I'm about to start a new job, so.
There you go.
But I'm game.
And then Colonel Manager says, ha-ha, me too, I'm holding you to it. Uh-oh. And that's when he says, someone's still selling COH-related products. Link, please.
Yeah, he did.
Radio Free Harvest says, the Torii Gate could represent the entrance to a sacred place. Well, there you go.
Yeah, I don't know. They're not selling City of Heroes shirts. I know that they still have the Atlas Park 33 shirts out there, which is pretty cool.
I mean, I'm wearing mine right now.
I'm not. I washed mine today. I actually have two of them. I have a blue one and a brown one, and they were both dirty. And in fact, they're sitting in my washer. I need to actually swap them and put them in the dryer. But
yeah, I wash mine every week. So even though I just have one, I only wear it during the show. And it comes right off and goes in the wash.
Right now, I hate to admit it, but I'm actually wearing an Angry Birds t-shirt that I got for Christmas.
Do you know Star Wars 2 came out on Angry Birds?
Did it? I haven't checked. It's
based off the what do you want, the prequel trilogy?
Oh, no. Does it have Jar Jar?
I don't know. Yeah, I just did the first three, whatever you want to call them, first three screens or whatever.
Mitha no Laika the pigs? Oh, no.
Don't do that. Don't give them ideas. Do you remember that version of Star Wars Episode 1 where they took Jar Jar Binks out of it? And the movie was only like 10 to 15 minutes long. They said they were joking around about it.
Well,
I think it was 33 minutes, but yeah.
Oh, something like that. Yeah, something ridiculous. All right, LT Cooper says, yes, there is a Jar Jar. Can we kill him in the game?
Is he the bomb one, the one that blows up?
Uh-oh, you're getting a call from the Amphibian Anti-Defamation League, Tony.
Well, you know.
Oh, God, Jar Jar uses his tongue to sling. I knew it was something with his tongue.
Oh, nice.
And Harvester suggests people order custom COH designs as a form of civil disobedience. He has 5 inches of stretching. On my screen, that's bigger than my phone. Or maybe just as big as my phone. That's a long tongue in game.
I'm not sure I want to, you know, I'm at the point now where until they sell the property, I'm not sure I really want to support City of Heroes.
Yeah. Champions Mechanics, that would be 10 meters. That's a long tongue.
Ow.
So, Nate,
I can't say much.
Are we going to have tongue swinging as a travel power?
And did not ever consider that.
He'd be very popular
the highlight we had was somebody who wanted to do tinkering with hair whips. But that's about the highlight I've come up with so far.
Oh, nice.
Oh, okay. Dietra's not here. I have to ask: will there be whips in the game?
Yeah, because you know there are. Honestly, whips are known very well in comic book lore. So.
Okay. I will pass it on. I will pass it on to her.
Will there be leather portrait?
Although it's a prop. I don't know. I'm not on the art team.
Come on now. Will there be utility belts?
Very likely.
Okay. Oh, hip holsters for pistols.
Probably. I don't really know what's on the art team, honestly.
Okay.
Oh, come on. You guys are thinking too small there. You guys are thinking too small. You know, a boob slider? Come on, guys.
Well, we mentioned Dietra, so.
Yeah.
Two things about Dietra: big boobs and the whips. What do you mean too small? How big of a boob slider are you going to have? Never
no
mind.
No comment there.
Okay, asymmetrical costumes, sort of like CO?
I believe there's been some looking into that. There is some concern over animations. But.
Okay. Oh, okay. Colonel Mandrake says his wife wants to know if you will have the walk toggle.
We are planning on walking.
Cool.
Because it's very annoying when you just do not want to run everywhere.
Okay, and then Joel Garcia wants to know, can I get a vehicle? I'd love my hero to ride up on a motorcycle or arrive in a limo.
We're not aiming for vehicles upon release, but that's
okay.
Not because we can't do it, but because
right.
We don't want it just simply to be you buy a, you know, you get a vehicle and it's identical to everyone else with a vehicle.
Okay. And then he expands on that. Or take a taxi when I'm poor. I have a question. I think this is more game mechanics.
Okay.
Super leap. I prefer the super leap from City of Heroes. When I start leaping, I don't have to do these baby little leaps to build up to my big, quote-unquote, massive leap.
Yeah. In our super leap, no, it's pretty much you step, you know, you hit it and you are launched.
Cool.
You seen our video?
I have to catch up. I'm sorry. I've been, you know what it is? I'm housing for my folks and they're supposed to be coming home and I've been involved in doing so many projects, all the fall projects that they're not here for. I was doing the summer projects and now I'm taking on all the fall projects because they might not be home for a couple more weeks. So.
Well, we have three different shots of super leap in there, and no, it's just have a couple steps, hit the space bar, and catapulted.
Okay, now is this in the updates for the Kickstarter, or is that on the actual website?
That's on the actual website, right up the top.
I will go check that out after the show.
Yeah, I had it in both. I had clips of it in the, you know, studying the engine section and in the putting it all together section.
Okay.
Well, I think in putting it all together, I just simply jumped straight up because I wanted to see how high I could go with it.
So how much of that stuff is actually taken care of by the game engine, and how much is it stuff that you're going to have to actually custom program?
It was minor adjustments in the game engine. I think Joel said he got leaping working in... I asked him for it, and he had it ready 2 days later, on top of working his regular day job. So, the biggest problem we're having with that is actually the animations, not the actual power side of it.
So, how are y'all handling animations? Do you have like a, I think in City of Heroes you had like sort of a neutral stance that everything would, you know, kind of eventually return to, and is it the same sort of thing, or are you going to have alternate stances? And I imagine that could get pretty complicated pretty quickly.
That's real easy to do. We've been testing it out, and for instance, the white guy we have in last night's update, we have like three idle stances for him. It's just a simple trip and switches from one to the other.
So how many people do y'all have working on the team right now?
When I counted last night, we have 171 registered, but active, it varies depending on what day of the week, between 40 and 80. So.
Do you feel like you have a pretty good stable management crew, team leads of art and tech and clients?
Yeah.
Okay, another question.
We've had some management changes over the months, but nothing really dramatic other than back at the end of July. That was about highlight of it.
Another question from the chat. Fame options? Like, you go the route of fame over justice because it's right?
We are studying a fame system. It's actually kind of where the basis for one of our tiers comes from. Actually, the problem we had with it is with the testing we're doing is that we couldn't get it so it demonstrated just for the person yet. But we can make everybody see it, so that's where that tier comes from.
Okay.
We're planning on a fame system, so you can get... Yeah, I think it's going to be kind of fun. Banners and things like that. You know, Ultraman saved our city!
Mm-hmm.
Banners over the town, city hall and stuff like that.
Very cool.
So I gotta ask, because one of the perks in here is that you get like your own special spotlight that calls you to missions and that sort of thing. I'm assuming that's client side because I have this sort of humorous.
Yeah, we talked about this last week.
Yeah, it's client side.
As you're wandering around, you'll see 1,500 lights up in the sky and be like, "Is that no? That's." Mine is a bug, but it's not quite the shape of that. Mine has six legs, and that's eight, and this is...
And then they signal everybody, but no one shows up because they couldn't figure out who they were calling.
It's... You know how when you go to a mission, you have a little marker on the map?
Yes.
It just kind of guides you there. This replaces that. So you've got this big spotlight in the sky going, you know, like, eat at Joe's, whatever, pointing right down where you need to go.
Cool. I'm bringing another caller on. A long-time caller, Radio Free Harvester, is joining us on air.
Excellent.
Hi, guys.
Good evening, Harvester. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing okay. We're here with Nate, Dr. Teich from Missing Worlds Media, City of Titans, The Phoenix Project. He's fielding questions. How are you?
Great stuff.
This is all. I am, like, totally psyched for this game already, man.
It's pretty exciting to watch how the
Kickstarter's
gone. Yeah.
I know, really. It's like if you weren't psyched before, yeah, Triple A said, man, the more I hear about this game, the more I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I wanted to suggest, I don't game on a Mac, but I think from my point of view, having the Mac client at launch is a big deal, and I just want to encourage everybody to crank up their pledge amounts even 10% to get us to that stretch goal. It's just a little more than 10% shy of it right now.
There you go. We got 3 weeks left.
You know, in full disclosure, Nate and I talked about this before. The Mac market is not that big, but one nice thing about having an MMO Mac client is that of that market, you would actually have a pretty large piece of it because there aren't that many,
MMOs.
The other point
I just want to make about it is out of the known base of City of Heroes players who still people who still say I miss the game, it seems to me a pretty high proportion of them, an unusually high proportion of them are Mac users. So even though I'm not one of them, not for gaming purposes anyway, I still think that's a very important stretch goal to meet.
Absolutely. And we'll get there. I mean, the macOS client, what is the stretch goal for it? 450?
450, yeah.
Yeah,
we're almost the next domino in the line, yes.
Another question slash comment from the chat from Joel Garcia. When COH devs complained that too much money influence was being generated by the game economy, causing prices to rise and box out new players, he suggested establishing systems that would allow players to donate to the city for charitable purposes like keeping up parks and gardens and earning public recognition for the charity. Any thoughts to handling the economy?
Honestly, I'm not on the economy. I haven't really been following what's going on with the guys studying that. We've got quite a few guys that have actually studied the in-game economy, what can be done, how to prevent inflation from going crazy. And, you know, I haven't been keeping up with them because we're nowhere near ready for implementing any of their ideas. But I know we've got guys working on it. Like, Steve's been working on it. Cameron's been working on it. And that's just off the top of my head. I know I got those two, and I think we've got, like, four or five other people helping them out, too.
Well, if you guys beat this one, you'll have done something unique because every MMO has this problem. It has to be at least reasonable for people to acquire cash, that is to say game cash, and yet at the same time, if you make it easy enough, like City of Heroes did, then you end up with this, quote, inflation problem. The other side of the coin is you end up with a game that, in games where, like EverQuest, where it was hard to make money, the only people who had any money were the high-end raiders, and it didn't stop inflation. Things you needed were still ridiculously expensive because there were those people who'd been in on it from the beginning and who always had access to the high end of the economy. So it's a tough problem, and to solve that one would be a revolution in gaming.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, people can't even figure out how to make a normal out of the world economy work in the game where everything's happening at hyperspeed. Oh boy!
But unlike the real world, in the game you can just unilaterally declare that okay, that's the way we're going to do it.
Exactly.
Well, one of the things I'd say is that the hedge against a game economy going nuts is a good community. And at least you have the advantage of the built-in community you're gonna get for this game is gonna be of that sort. And we've talked about this before. We reached a point about I-4, I-5, and City of Heroes where players, I would get into a disagreement with a player I was in a task force with, and they'd make me a bet. I'll bet you blah blah blah. Something I knew was a cinch, right? And so we'd make this ridiculous, 2 million influence bet, which didn't mean anything to me. And I'd win, and then I'd refuse to accept payment, and instead I'd turn around and buy the guy a complete set of SOs because at the time, well, that was the ultimate. And, that's one way you manage the economy problem. You get people who have money problems in the game, and if they're good people, you help them out. That's got its own set of problems, but it's one of the reasons why you want to have a strong community in the game, because if you have a strong community in the game, then you can identify those people who are earnestly trying to break into the game and want to be good players and are locked out of stuff, and you help them out. I've certainly bought a lot of stuff for a lot of people over the period of time that I played City of Heroes.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when I got my first 50. What I did is went go to Atlas Park and found the first noob that appeared at the footsteps there, and just gave him as much influence as I could.
Right. And early in the game, there was a really low limit on how much you could trade. It was crazy.
Yeah,
it was like
say that would have been
99. Was it 99,000 or something?
Yeah, we have two comments about that. Joel Garcia, aka Mr. Wentworth, he says that's how I got my name. because they were always donating to people. And Colonel Mandrake says, when my wife and I started, within the first week, we had four different people just hand us purple items and fly away. Then we figured out what to do with them. Then we had tens of millions of influence. The community equals good economy. And
yeah.
Joel Garcia says again, so many people were great about that. Love that aspect of our community. And that's the thing, too. It depends on the community you're in, because I'm sure, like, we were on the Virtue server. We had a great community. And then I heard from one or two, a couple people, that the servers they were on, they didn't have that same communal brotherhood, sisterhood, whatever you want to call it, fraternity. They're like, everybody was out for themselves.
I just hope it's kept in mind, and I know Nate's not responsible for the game economy, but right. I just hope they keep in mind that, you know, I've always said the best systems are the ones where your casual players can succeed, your avid players, you know, get more stuff. But, you know, at some point you really kind of need to build in some point of diminishing returns where, yeah, you can go out and farm, you know, some mission for 6 hours, and yeah, you'll get some stuff for it. But at some point, you kind of got to have a cutoff where it's like, okay, you know, you get to a point of diminishing returns where over the course of time, if you keep doing this thing over and over and over again, your rewards for each time are going to get less and less and less. And that doesn't necessarily mean you literally get, you know, less influence or whatever the currency is. But it could, you know, it could get to the point where, I mean, like when City of Heroes started, yeah, you could go out and, you know, you could earn 50 million in influence, but what are you going to use it for? I mean, they're
well, that was just it. When I was first grinding for influence around I2, in anticipation of bases, I ground up all this influence, didn't have anything to spend it on. Then bases came out, they used a different currency, and the conversion factor was so ridiculously disadvantageous that I never bothered to convert any of it.
Hmm.
And so I had all this influence sitting around, and it, literally nothing to spend it on.
Yeah,
I mean, once you had all your rewards and enhancements,
yeah.
there was really nothing else to get. So you have people doing that. They'd go to Atlas Park
yeah.
and give out these ridiculous amounts of, I mean, ridiculous in a good way, amounts of influence, because, I mean, what else are you going to do with it? And I mean, you know, when you're first starting the game and you've got nothing.
Yeah.
Somebody drops 10,000 on you, and you're like, "Oh my gosh, I'm set to like level 20."
All right. Good night, Joel. Thanks for tuning in, brother. I will talk to you over the weekend. Joel Garcia, leaving the building.
But about server communities. If I understand correctly, and maybe I don't, but if I understand correctly, modern technology allows us to have everybody quote on one server. In the same sense as in Champions Online, and I think that's all to the good, because it means that the totality of the good community that that exists out there of City of Heroes players can exist all in one place. You won't be split up over 10 servers.
Hey guys, I'm going to do a public service announcement here for Rich, and he can add to it if he wants to. But I see a whole bunch of guests in the
yeah,
chat right
I said,
now.
Oh, yeah, I said that before.
If,
I said it when the old
If you guys log in, you can actually type in that chat channel. And
yeah,
we've got Nate Downs, who's the technical director of City of Titans here, so he can field your questions about
yeah.
technical things.
Okay, and since Tony said it, since you got, if you probably don't have a Blog Talk account, you could just go do it really quick. It takes like less than 2 minutes to get an account. It's a free account, and you can type in the chat. And
I think you can actually log in using Facebook, too. So
if you
have a Facebook account, you don't even have to create a Blog Talk account.
Oh, well, there you go. Just click on the Facebook. All right, then do that. I don't know. I always have an account on Blog Talk. So.
What audience you had for one of these?
What was that?
Is this the biggest audience you've had for one of these?
No, the biggest audience I had actually was last year, one of the first shows we did when Tony, the first time he was on, and everybody was asking him about the shutdown. And for this show, it's one of the biggest. I've done radio shows where we've actually had like 100 people in the chat for another show, and it was like, wow. But yeah, we had a whole bunch of guests here, so.
But I think it's clear that the excitement from the Kickstarter for the Phoenix project is spilling over.
Oh yeah,
no, no question about it.
And you know, this is good for. And you know, while it's good for Missing Worlds Media, it's also good for the other two guys out there too. I mean, if we prove that there's excitement for this, that means that Valiant and Heroes and Villains are both going to get opportunities.
Yeah,
absolutely, so absolutely. And the other point is, there's been from the very beginning, even before City of Heroes closed, I heard a lot of naysaying about, oh, you can't do X, Y, and Z with software without having, you know, a gigantic paid staff and the very same developers that the other guys had. And my own experience tells me that's all a lot of baloney. And the more you good people prove that wrong, the better it is for everybody. Because I want to see the community of gamers get out of this mindset that says we are absolutely dependent on these mega corporations who really just want to extract money from us and don't necessarily care whether they supply us with a good gaming experience. I want you and I want all of us to be free of that.
Yeah, it used to be, you know, way back when I started getting into computers, admittedly this was the Texas Instruments 99 Commodore 64 era, anybody could just pick up, buy themselves a brand new computer, come up with a game, put it on a disc, package it up with a little manual in a Ziploc bag, hang it up at a store, and it would sell. I mean, that's how Richard Garriott got his start. 150,000
right.
copies of the original Ultima. And over the years, it's become corporatized and commoditized, and they're falling into the same trap Hollywood did, which is trying to make a formula, and formulas don't work.
Well, above and beyond that, there are companies, and I could name, and above and beyond NCSoft, who pretty much admit that the only reason they make games is to exploit human psychology for money. They don't make games with an idea that the people who are subscribing to their game are customers who they're trying to provide a pleasing entertainment experience to. No, it's just, can I get a direct channel into that person's bank account? And NCSoft demonstrated unequivocally that they're one of those companies. I would suggest no one do any business with them ever again, unless you like being exploited.
Well, it's all part of, I mean, I can't really pick on NCSoft individually because I really feel like there's part of the I call it the rise of the mega publishers. And sort of to go back to what Nate was talking about, I mean, it used to be if you wrote a game back in the 80s, you did it because you wanted, you know, it was a labor of love. You wanted that game to exist. And around the 90s, it gaming became a lot more mainstream, and these mega publishers started seeing dollar signs. And now it's gotten to the point where, you know, in the beginning, it wasn't that bad because the mega publishers provided the funding and the marketing and all that kind of stuff, and the game development studios wrote the games, and everybody won. But then you had a bunch of publishers start thinking about, well, how can we make even more money off this game? We're making money, but we want to make a lot of money. And that's where you started getting into things like DRM and online registration and, you know, downloadable content, you know, parts of the game that are locked on the disc unless you put a code in to prevent, you know, third-party sales. And you started getting into sort of the bad side of gaming, where it became more about the money than the game.
Well, and the point I'll make about that is that you've once you decide that's the kind of game you want to publish, you've actually changed who your audience is too, and you've left behind the people who are actually playing the game for its entertainment value. And that's what I'm trying to say is that the games that you're describing, that were, you know, the early part of this industry, before it was an industry, really. They were written by they're great games, and they were written by people no smarter than the people who played them. It was just somebody bothered to do it, And what disappoints me to hear people on websites like your own discussing games is to hear them say, "Oh, it's just impossible for ordinary people to do stuff like this." I think that's baloney. I hate hearing it.
Colonel Mandrake there made a point. He says the fact that no publisher of MMOs have ever accounted for Sunset for their customers shows how software companies are not cared beyond dollars. And I see what he's saying, and that's an important point, is that MMOs, and this is what I think a lot of people miss, is that, you know, a lot of people are, well, just move on. It's not that big a deal. It's just a game. And that would be fine if it's a game that you go out and spend, you know, $60 or $70 on, and a year or two later, you know, they kind of move on to something else. But we're talking about MMOs. And MMOs is a very sort of it's a genre that's very conducive to getting people to spend a lot of money, which is not a bad thing because, you know, they have ongoing development costs, unlike something like, you know, Call of Duty or something like that. But MMOs, you know, they demand that people spend money, you know, a lot of it over the course of 10 years. And it can really rack up into the hundreds or thousands of dollars. And so at some point, I really feel that there's a moral obligation to look out for your customers and make sure that if you're going to shut the thing down, that, you know, they're still able to play and still able to enjoy the game, that you don't just flip a switch and all of a sudden thousands of dollars and thousands of hours of work are just destroyed. That's crazy.
Yeah, and that's just the point, right? I mean, because we didn't spend just – if you played City of Heroes as long as I did, you didn't just spend $60. You spent quite a lot of money, and you did because you really liked the game a lot, and you were willing to continue. I was willing to pay that subscription fee for as long as they'd take my money. And the idea that just one day – their management would decide that $2 million a year of clear profit just isn't enough to keep doing this. And since it's within our rights and we really don't give a damn about you people who've supported us all along, here, look at the boobs on these characters. You know, that was basically their response. And the whole thing is just so maddening because it's like, no, I told you guys with my checkbook, I told you guys once a month for almost 8 years what I wanted in a game. You only had one game you ever offered that I felt that way about. And you don't just shut it down and then say, here, we've got other games. I don't care about your other games. They're not what I'm looking for. I feel the same way about other styles of games. I over the last few years have bought several games that purport to be about the Pacific War, and they're all garbage. And I came to the conclusion that the only thing I could do if I wanted a game about the Pacific War that wasn't garbage was to write it myself.
So we have another question, and it's actually a doozy, and it's a good one, especially within the context of what we've been talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Go ahead. You want me to ask it, or you want to ask? Go ahead, ask it. Ask it.
Okay, so the question is, does City of Titans intend on having a sunset solution for the community?
Yep, we've actually had that in mind since day one, because, you know, we don't plan on going under, but if we did, for whatever reason, we don't want to leave everybody high and dry. I'm actually going to be releasing an update soon on our server technology, which kind of ties into this, but I can give a little bit now. If anybody's ever played with the Unreal Engine, the way it comes by default is that you can run that client as a client, just run it normally. But there's a little flag that you can run it on the command line, and suddenly that client's a server, letting you to hook in, I think it was like 64 players at once. Now, most games, like DC Universe Online, take that part out. We're not. We want it so that way, if we're gone, somebody can take that client, put in the flag, and tell their friends, hey, I'm running a server. Come on over. They're not going to have access to the player database. They're not going to have the mission database. But they can they're still going to have access to the mission builder. They can make their own missions, let their friends play their missions, just like the old Neverwinter Nights setup. And, you know, people are going to, you know, store the missions on Wiki, and, hey, now we've got packs you can grab. Things like that. We want to make sure that everybody can still keep playing, even if our servers go dark. Make it so everybody can run their own.
And that's one thing that I wish that City of Heroes had taken into account, is that if they did shut the game down, that they had released a single user version or a small multiplayer version. But I like your analogy to Neverwinter Nights. I mean, that's ideal, is that once an MMO is shut down or sunset, I really think there needs to be a provision so that people can still run small groups.
Well, I'd like to take it a step further. I'd like to see what I would like to have seen from NCSoft was some level of cooperation with the community in setting up a server they didn't have to pay for or maintain, but that the community was going to take care of. But
you know,
your attitude was, you bought that book from us, now you're not allowed to read it anymore.
You know, the ideal situation, I wish they had, I would love to see a website like Good Old Games, GOG.com. You know, they sell all these copies. They've gotten licensing deals with all these publishers to sell games from, like, the old, you know, the 80s and 90s and even some early 2000s. So they sell, like, all the Ultima games and Might and Magic and Wizardry and, you know, all those kind of things. And they charge $2, $5, $6 a pop. I would have loved to have seen them try to work with a company like that or maybe even someone like Steam, Valve, to set up, you know, a server just in maintenance mode and let people continue playing the game. But alas, they never called and asked my opinion, so...
Well, damn them all to hell. They can't call you and ask your opinion. But you should know right away, what does Tony think about this?
What does Tony think about... Oh, yeah,
anything.
Well,
I don't know, this, whatever that is. You know.
I would have certainly told him.
I'm sure you would have. All right,
We got 5 minutes left, so if you guys got questions, fire away.
Hey. I was just going to say that. But I was also going to say...
I read your mind.
Stop doing that. We have under 5 minutes left. I know a lot of people tune in late. If you want to, if the show goes off air, if you click on the show link again, you can listen to the whole show, the replay. Also, we're going to do a 30-minute after party. We're just going to keep talking for another 30 minutes. You won't be able to listen to that unless you click on the link and listen to the replay. If you want to really quick, you can call in and join us at 646-478-0073, or if you scroll to the top of the page, there's a blue square with a white S in the middle that stands for Skype. You click on that, and that's a free call into the studio. And as I always say, free is good in today's economy. And let me catch us up. Princess Warrior has a question. Way off base probably, but here goes. After the amazing success of the Kickstarter, will a team from NWM continue to go to cons for FaceTime with fans, you know, to keep the momentum going?
Absolutely. I mean, we got two people going to the New York Comic Con, not having any conferences, but just going there to meet with people and pass out flyers and things like that.
And that's this weekend. Sadly, I can't go.
Whatever. That's this weekend, right? And getting in, it's that thing's very hard to do. It's like, whoa. But I know we've got Michelle, who's handling our convention lineup, has been working hard trying to figure out which ones to go to next. I mean, attending conventions is easy for us to do. Nice chance to talk, show off stuff. Our first two times we went, of course, we didn't know what the heck we're doing, so every mistake in the book we could make, we did. But, you know, we're starting
okay.
to get there.
You're just learning. Baby steps.
Yeah. But, yeah, we got her working on getting us lined up for that. So, hoping to get more in later this year.
I was going to say, somebody had a follow-up question on that note about the convention. When's the next one? Yeah, obviously, it's this weekend. Anything scheduled after that? And then somebody asked, is there a schedule posted for cons you guys will be at?
Not yet. We just started lining up for what conventions we want to do next year. So
okay.
Hoping to have that up before the end of the Kickstarter, though.
Okay, we have.
Okay, I was going to say we have another question from the audience. If we could take that quick. Would you ever consider user-made content as in the community votes on custom pieces others have made to be added to the game?
Absolutely. That's actually kind of what we're hoping for, because there's only so many of us. There's much more of you. Makes sense that way.
Okay.
I've got a question.
Go ahead.
Has anybody approached you about developing a Linux client?
Several people have.
Good.
And we are, honestly, for us to know if we can do it or not, we need more information from Epic. We aren't expecting to get that till after the Kickstarter.
But at least there are people who have volunteered to work on that. That's good.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, one of our volunteers is the guy that made the NC launcher for a launcher replacement for Linux. You know, remember that little Perl script that used to be able to make City Heroes work on Linux?
Yeah.
He's one of the guys that did that. So.
Super. I figured that you'd attract to those people, but I wanted to make sure, because I hadn't heard any talk about a Linux client, and just for the same reason that I think a Mac client's an important thing to have at launch, I would hope that there would be people who would take that up, and I wanted to reemphasize to people that if there's something you want to see in this game, there's a way to get it.
Okay, I have
another question. If we don't hear it, we can't give it, you know?
That's right. And that's by doing it, is what I mean.
I want to get this one last question in from the chat. Could there be development on a supplement like Titan Icon for COT?
Titan Icon for COT, that's actually our first product we're planning on getting out.
Okay, there you go.
We're calling it the Avatar Builder. So.
All right, the Avatar. All right, there's 20 seconds left, guys. I know a lot of people came in late. If you want to, like I said, if you want to catch up on everything you missed, just click on the show link, and you can listen to the whole replay. And I want to thank Nate, a.k.a. Dr. Teich, for calling in tonight, answering everybody's questions. And thanks, Oracle, Sean, B-Man, who was here earlier, Radio Free Harvester. And I want to thank Tony for helping co-host tonight. And we'll see you guys next week. I just got that in time. And we're down in the after party, so.
Cool.
So let's continue.
I haven't done radio shows in years, so.
You guys are great.
Oh, you did fantastic, man.
You're
lots
awesome.
Lots of good stuff. Everybody's excited. Kickstarter's up to 2,804 backers now at 406,425.
Yeah, I'm just waiting to see how everybody responds to tonight's update. That's when I put up the server tech. Yay.
That'll be cool. See, that's, believe it or not, that's actually what I'm interested in. People, you know, this is kind of funny, but City of Heroes, I actually worked on our own Titan Network website more than I played the game. Just because I'm sort of a back-end, you know, technical wonk, and I like that stuff. That's the kind of, you know, I would go to the Player Summit, and people would be asking questions about, hey, you know, what powers are going to be proliferated to this archetype, and, you know, what new costume pieces are we going to get in the coming year? And I'm sitting there like, hey, what kind of virtual servers do y'all have running the back end software? Yeah. So,
well, everybody's got their thing, right?
I love tech updates, man.
Yeah, I figured we haven't done enough of them. We've done, you know, lore, art. Let's do some tech stuff. Yesterday was gameplay.
Can never get enough tech stuff, man. That's what gets me excited. Sitting there reading about how it's going to work on the back end and how the Unreal Engine integrates into this stuff. And
so
I just think it's funny that the design of the server, all we did is just not take out a feature that's already in the game engine.
So as part of the ability to host individual servers, we're also going to have some mechanism to be able to download our characters off of the game servers?
We were planning on that from day one. There'll be a copy on your machine, there's going to be a copy on ours. So at every point, you've always got a copy.
I just can't think of all the people that
lost their characters because they couldn't get in to do Sentinel in the last bit, you know?
I've heard of a lot of people who had that issue, that Or a common one is, you know, you had to have the badge window open for it to capture your badges. And I've heard from some people who say, well, I made, you know, 132 Sentinel exports, but none of them have any badges. How do I find out my badges? And I'm like, oh, no. You can't.
Yeah.
They're gone.
As another thing to be done, not for release, but some way down the line, rather than going all the way for something like fingerprints, would there be interest doing something like being able to export a character model in one of the 3D modeling formats to be so that the end person can push it to their own 3D printer or send it to some place like the online places that do 3D prints?
Well, one thing the Unreal Engine supports out of the box, already integrated into the engine, is the ability to take a model and export it as a standard FBX file. Then you just got to take that, convert it into an STL, and almost anybody can print them.
That's
going to make a nice interface for it.
That's a swap to write an interface.
But yeah, I mean, that's already integrated in the engine, so all you got to do is just not take it out.
Well, the more you can not take stuff out, the better.
That's true.
Yeah. Incidentally, DC Universe Online actually kept that in there. I found that out when I was playing around with it. I'm like, really? Wow.
That's odd.
Cool.
Yeah, I didn't expect that.
Oh, I had a question. Now you mentioned DCU. I'm hoping the answer is what I think it is. This isn't going to be a game that's going to eventually wind up on a console, right? It's strictly PC, Mac.
I mean, there have been some people that have said we'd like to do a console. Honestly, the way the controls on a console work versus the way the PC, translating's next to impossible. And although I admit the new Steambox controller actually straddles the line, we theoretically could do it. Because that thing's amazing, but it's not a thing we're really planning on.
Okay. No, that's why, because I have a DCU account, and then Nancy has the PS3, and I walked in and goes, I could play DCU with you. I'm like, no, you can't. Go away.
Yeah, but they purposely split them in half. It's like, what did you do that for? What's the point of an MMO?
Yeah.
Have you guys talked about voice chat at all?
We're not going to do voice chat. But what we are planning on doing is integrating so that way it'll hook into Steam, and Steam offers voice chat.
I see.
In other words, one less system we need to support our directly. One less system we have to worry about.
That'll be cool. So, Steam offers some other features. You can track accomplishments and stuff like that through Steam as well.
Exactly. Instead of us having to develop it, use theirs. Save us time. Great and ivory apart there.
Very cool.
Hey, Rich, I meant to tell you, I got my other Fighting Fantasy book, so now I have Warlock of Firetop Mountain, Citadel of Chaos, Forest of Doom, City of Thieves, and Starship Traveler.
Wow, very cool. You're going to have a lot of fun with those.
Actually, my library when I grew up had that on the shelf. It was quite neat.
That should be Missing World Media next project is to make
Choose
games based
that
on
that would
these
be awesome.
Books.
Choose your own adventures. War Nightmare said in the chat. Remember, if we don't pledge at least 600K, NCSoft wins. That should have been the first line of the Kickstarter.
Hey, listen. How long have I been saying on these shows, Rich? How long have I been saying? If we could just get a million people to pledge $1,000 each, then you guys will be funded at $1 billion.
And you'd have no excuse not to keep the game going.
I mean, that would be the ultimate, man.
Yeah, I'm just... I wonder
what
$1 billion
stretch goal would be.
What was that?
What would your billion-dollar stretch goal be?
Go ahead.
$1 billion. Buying a small country. No.
What? Yeah. We're going to move our headquarters to a small, remote tropical island.
Our stretch goal is to buy all of our players' houses.
That's right.
Move them to this location, and that way they can all play, you know.
And it's tax-free, has its own Wi-Fi satellite.
It's our own implementation of voice chat.
That's right.
We're moving everybody into the...
You all sit at this big round table.
Oh, Lord, no.
Hey, we're going this
I won't
way.
Be able to hear anything for all the noise.
No. There'll be one room for each group.
Because every time, this is why I don't like to go out to bars. I can't hear a damn thing when I'm in a bar because if everybody talk, you have to be right in my ear for me to hear you.
Oh, I had a question.
Because there's so much noise.
I don't know if this is mentioned. How big are the teams going to be allowed to be in this game?
We're actually sticking to City of Heroes eight person on a team model.
Okay.
Because it's easy math for the engine.
Yeah, true.
Honestly.
All right. Okay.
Although we are also allowing leagues for up to 8 teams at once. So.
Very good.
Wow. Cool. All right. That works for me. I'm loving everything I heard tonight, so I was very happy with all the information.
Yeah. With I actually messaged Aaron from Valiance to suggest that he contact you guys sometime.
They're
waiting until we finish our Kickstarter before they do anything. So.
Yeah, because this is the thing. I always talk about you guys. Heroes of Villains, but we never hear anything from Valiant. And I just feel bad. I'm like, they're the third game, but, you know, they're, like, doing their own thing over there.
They don't really have much of a marketing mindset, I've noticed.
Okay, yeah.
They're one of these guys that just quietly does their thing in the corner. I mean, honestly, okay. I've seen their engine up close and personal. They're doing stuff with Unity that blows my mind. Unfortunately, when we tried to use it, it blew up.
Oh, wow.
So the stuff we're doing just is beyond what Unity can handle.
Oh, okay.
I've got a question about the power customization, and forgive me if you've covered this. We do often talk about, it's been mentioned that you'll be able to customize how your power appears, but what about how your power sounds?
That and includes sounds, too.
Oh, good.
Okay,
all right,
if we hit 650K, we're going to have the Freem sound effect added.
My punches have to have that echoing noise and the little whiff of black smoke coming up off of them.
I mean, the way it works is that the power is its own little thing. You click it, the power does its little code execution, but it's got animation trigger.
Right.
And then you tell it what animations it's going to trigger. Animations are something completely different. The sounds are tied to the animations, so real easy to do. And swapping out sounds on Unreal, unrealistically easy.
Well, that's good. One of the unfortunate experiences of early COH was they had a sound effect that was so loud compared to everything else that if you had that power going, you were gonna get tinnitus. And even though NCSoft really got mad at people for doing it, a lot of us went and changed that sound file out so that we could play our characters without damaging our hearing.
That was the sound feel, wasn't it? Sonic
it was
barrier,
the, it,
like that?
No, it was the target drone in Devices.
I never played Devices, so.
Yeah, I used to swap mine out. I had to change the amplitude to like 50% and saved it back out.
Yeah. Well, you had to do that because it was a clever design in the sense that it was louder the closer it was to you. But this thing's circling right around your head, so guess what? It's really loud.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys need me to, like, do any voice recording going, you know, bam, smack, oof.
Don't forget this one. Freem.
Freem. Zow.
Yeah.
Bam. Powie. Kapow.
Uppercut.
And then somebody's going to do finish him, and great, so we're now doing Mortal Kombat.
Finish him.
Flawless fatality.
Actually, it's kind of cool what we got for... You know how you defeated villains in City of Heroes and they just kind of fade out. It was like, what happened? What we actually do is that if they get defeated, you get this little popping graphic and you see them disappear in a flash. And we have a bit of backstory for that, too.
All right. Cool.
Yep. It was... When we were testing the old multiverse engine, they had a respawn technology that we were planning on coming up with a bit of lore to explain. And we then just kept the lore, even though we got rid of the engine. Because it's just that cool. We had Idiot Savant teleporting extra-dimensional aliens. Basically, people that were in a coma got merged with extra-dimensional energy, and if you were, if you're about to die, zap. They zapped you into where they were at. We just called the hospitalers.
I think you should have like a black robe clad skeleton holding a scythe, come and like heave them over the shoulder and walk off. No. They're just defeated.
Well, this was these people are doing that. Then somebody got the bright idea. Hey, let's take all these people that are, unconscious in their hospital beds and put them in the prisons. So these criminals that are getting beaten up get zapped right to jail. It's an idea.
Well, that's what our friendly taxi bot Belle used to do. Her explanation was she carried around these little teleporter tags that she'd stick to the villains, and they were just teleported to the Zig. That's why they disappeared.
Oh, that's neat.
Yep.
I never thought of that.
Yep. Same basic idea, except we put it in the game.
Yeah. I always thought some of our heroes were psychotic, like the ones who use fire all the time and burn the villains to death. I'm going, man, there's going to be some kind of burn. There's going to be one crazy burn ward at the Zig. If everybody's burning them to death.
They can work miracles at the Zig.
I guess so. It works with special magic fire. It burns, but it doesn't burn. It does damage, but doesn't scar.
Don't think too hard about it.
Yeah, I know. These are just things we thought of sometimes. I know one time before they had supergroup bases, we did a side group, and we all had like one fire. Each of us, either the primary or secondary, had to be fire-based. And that was it. We were Burnation after, Trigor? The Burninator?
Mm-hmm.
And
Trogdor
the Burninator, right, sorry. And we were sitting there going, man, we gotta be psychotic. I mean, we're sitting here and we're just burning the villains to death.
We did. The closest thing I did to that is we had a super group called OMGKB, and everybody in it had to have a lot of knockback in their build. So like
I remember you guys.
I had Storm Energy Defender. Yeah.
Oh geez. Okay.
Well, that was a lot of fun actually. You get two Storm Defenders and you can do things like Positron's Task Force at that level, and you didn't have to worry about all the status effects because you could just keep all the bad guys herded up in a corner, falling down constantly while the team beat them up.
You guys inspired me to take my arrow blaster, respect an explosive arrow, and just slotted it with accuracies and knockback. At level 50, I'd go into Atlas Park, find the nearest largest mob of Hellions, and just fire one right into the middle.
Oh, that's funny.
I miss my archer.
Hellion golf.
I go, all right, Bone Daddy, Corner Pocket.
That's the kind of fun stuff you could do in that game.
I miss. I used to have a gravity controller, and the buildings with the awning. You have a Hellion under there, and I use lift and slam up into the top, and you slam back down again.
Yeah.
Fun stuff. Well, guys, I got to go. I got a phone call coming in 10 minutes. I got to be ready for her, and I will talk to you guys next week.
No problem, Harv. Thanks for calling in tonight. You have a good weekend, Harv.
You do the same.
Thank you. I will try.
All right. Bye, everybody.
All right. Have a good one. All right. Good night. That was
great.
Right.
I'm thinking.
Sorry, everybody. Go ahead, Tony.
So Nate, you guys, especially during the Kickstarter, it might help with publicity if maybe, you know, you guys should get, like, someone from art or someone from story.
Different departments to call in.
To call in, like, maybe once a week. Yeah, get, like, your content people to dial in next week, and we can bombard them with questions about the story behind the city and
oh,
the
war cool.
and that kind of stuff. And then,
I'm sorry,
and
if
then
I could...
someone from Austin.
And I was going to suggest, let us know as soon as you can, because then when I advertise the show, I could put in so-and-so is calling in. So if you have any questions,
I can ask around. Probably the person to do that would be, like, Kitsune, Tim, or Robin. So... they're the head writing type people. Possibly Aquashock. Pretty good there, too.
Okay.
Yeah. For art.
$1,000 goal.
I'm sad nobody's taken the $10,000 one yet. It's like, oh, man.
I'm waiting to see it. We figured this out last week. If you do the top one and all the add-ons, it's like $12,000. So
yeah.
Tony suggested he's going to do, he wants to start a Kickstarter so he could donate to your Kickstarter.
I was just kidding. Yeah. Somebody actually posted a message on Facebook proposing that, and everybody's like, no, you can't do that. And I'm like, I hope that person heard me. They understood. I was just kidding.
it's really kind of neat.
We hit around about a Kickstarter earlier, like a month ago, because Comic-Con. And then it's like, you know what? We should figure out all our expenses, and then we could do the show live every day from Comic-Con next year. And we'll start a Kickstarter.
One of the $5,000 tiers already messaged us and let us know they were actually a super group that had pooled their money together for it.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, but still they did
and
it.
And we're like, yeah, they actually were the one that wanted to, instead of being a skyscraper, have a university. We're like,
oh, that's cool.
You want a university building? We can give you a university building. No problem here.
That's cool.
See, I wish I could go in at $5,000. I'll tell you what, I've got a car though that's about $4,600 away from being paid off, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't put a. I was gonna say
$5,000.
If I went in at $5,000, I'd want like a pizzeria.
We've had all sorts. Come in. We've gotten people that have wanted to do the auction house, wanted to have a university. We have one person that was asking if they could be on a cult shop. I'm like, yeah. You want to be a pizzeria? Hell yeah.
I want to be the pizza restaurant, man. That's where the heroes hang out, is at the pizza place.
I want an occult Mexican restaurant because no one's ever done that before.
That's right. Yeah, I want an occult pizza restaurant.
The Nacho Nomicon.
Yeah, exactly. I'll have the pepperoni, mushrooms, and eye of newt.
And don't forget to get your tortilla chips. It comes with salsa.
Are you going to have a better visor for Mission Doors than City of Heroes had?
What was that?
You're going to have a better randomizer for Mission Doors and City of Heroes, yeah.
Yeah, that's not hard to do.
I love the fact you'd have the same mission, like three different missions at the same door, and every time you walked in, it's like a totally different place inside.
Man, those councils rebuild fast.
Man, they build fast. What the?
My favorite, though, is, you know the little fishing stand on Nerva Archipelago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a little fishing stand on the pier.
Okay,
there
another
was
place you're
this, and there's a door on it. I have gotten a mission door at that fishing stand. Open it up. 5-story skyscraper.
I'd
never finish that mission because whenever I get on Teams, I'd be like, hey guys, I know where we can find a Time Lord. The chameleon circuit has been fixed.
It's TARDIS technology, man.
I got
that, or that's actually the basement of, the, of that fishing stand.
The same door. One off in one of the sewer entrances, then six more to the first door.
Oh, man.
Wait, what was that?
Had 16 missions, 15 of which were at the same door.
Wow, well, at least you didn't have to travel that far.
I'd come out, radio in my mission, get back a new one. Wait a minute. How did I miss them the last time I was in there?
Hey, yeah, you forgot something.
What's that?
It's like a three-story building. How the hell do I manage to not find this other group of people in there while I'm blowing the hell out of the building the first time?
Actually, I think people are going to be kind of happy about our mission maker. So.
That's cool.
Well, when you were talking about Choose Your Own Adventure books, it actually struck me.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
I love those books. I used to have about 60 of those Choose Your Own Adventure books, and then I had the Fighting Fantasy books, and I guess what I'm getting at is I miss being 12.
Yeah, I had. I remember when I was 11, those books just started coming out. I thought those were the coolest things.
Well, you and I are the same age. We're old farts.
I know. Oh, we had cool books back then, man.
Man, kids these days.
Yeah, we didn't have computers. Our RPG had to be on tabletop.
They have Twilight.
God bless.
We had Citadel of Chaos. They have Twilight.
Great.
All right. Well, I do need to get ready for dinner tonight, so if you guys don't mind, I need to take my leave about
now. No problem, Nate, a.k.a. Doctor. I'm just writing a thing up. I'm going to add it to the, for people who missed out on the show, I'm just going to add it to all the place they spammed to tell them to listen to the replay. Well, thanks for coming and answering a lot of questions tonight. I mean, a lot of questions were answered, and I think if it was even possible, more people are even more psyched about this game now coming out.
It'll be epic. No pun intended.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. All right. Thank you, Nate. Dr. Tyson.
I'm glad to have come on. All right.
Thank you.
And I'll
keep
sure
doing
correct,
your thing.
And I'll be sure to advise the other guys, see if anybody's willing to come on.
Cool. Very cool.
All right.
Our doors are always
have
open
for
you guys. All right. Have a good night. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, man. Take care.
All right. We have about... That was Nate, Dr. Teich. Thank you, sir. We have about 5 minutes left in the after party before we have to get out of here.
And then there were two.
Three.
Three? Who's
Sean's still here.
Oh, what are you still doing here, man?
Death will not release us.
So, Sean, have you ever had any fighting fantasy books?
No, I don't believe so.
Oh, you missed out. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what we mean when we're talking about choose your own adventure books?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, Fighting Fantasy were kind of like that, except that you actually had stats and you'd roll dice. You know, you'd get to instead of turn to page 84 or turn to page 139, you would actually get to it'd tell you have a monster here and roll a die and
yeah, and you can make your own character. Some of the books, they provide their own character. Others, you could just make a character from scratch. And you had to record everything.
Were for metagaming's The Fantasy Trip, which was what Steve Jackson had before he formed Steve Jackson Games.
Well, funny enough, a lot of these fighting fantasy books were written by Steve Jackson, just not that Steve Jackson.
Yes. Oh, it's funny, though, because when I was looking at the Kickstarter before the beginning, I clicked on games, and they had Steve Jackson Games. He funded one of his games on there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm a backer.
Oh, you did? Okay, cool.
Yeah, the Very cool. Over.
I saw him on, he did an episode of Tabletop. I think they played Munchkin. Or did they? I thought it was much. It could have been something else. Good stuff.
That was. I think I played Munchkins once. Or one of those card games we played.
It can get to be pretty long if you have several people playing. But it is funny. Kick in the door. Get the loot. Stab your friends in the back.
Okay, I just added on a message at the end of the message board. The message I started in Titan Network. Don't everybody check out the replay.
Cool.
And I'll add that to the other ones I did on Facebook. I'm wondering, how many people actually tuned in tonight?
I don't know. At one point, it looked like there were a good 25 or 30.
Oh, that was in the chat. There's sometimes, if you had the link, you could listen to the show without going in the chat room, depending on what you're listening on.
Well, I bet you once we get the link publicized, I bet you a lot more will listen to it. Yeah. And they'll hear us sitting here talking about them, too.
That's right. Thank you,
hey,
everybody.
Awesome late tonight. Listeners.
Wow, we had 111 live listeners tonight.
Hey, that's a lot.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in tonight. And for those of you listening to the archives, spread the word. Lots of questions were answered tonight.
And I will guilt some more people to join us. So.
Thanks. Yes, do so over the weekend. And I'm telling you, I mean, I was pretty psyched. I was, you know, psyched beforehand. I'm psyched even more now about City of Titans to come out. I wanted it out Monday.
I
don't think it's going to happen, though.
If I could snap my fingers and go forward, you know, 2 years in time.
Tony, let's get in the TARDIS. We'll go forward 2 years.
I would so sell that ability for, like, billions of dollars.
Hey, just have your for 2 years.
What was that?
Just have yourself frozen for 2 years.
Oh, yeah, cryogenics, and you'll wake up, and it'll be time to play. See?
That'll work.
I think that will.
I'll start checking into options. I don't know. I'll probably chicken out and just do it the slow way.
Well, make sure you go for a whole body freeze, though. The head only has some problems with getting people back.
But the body freeze is okay?
You know, I'm looking at one of the boards on Facebook. I think he deleted my post.
Who deleted what post?
I'm on Save City of Heroes, and that's the first place I posted. Unless this is it right here. Hold on.
There.
I pushed all the way down. What the?
Well, I'd say right. This. I think we're our time is up.
Yes, it's 9:30, guys. Let's get out of here, Tony.
Yep, and see you next week.
Yep, thanks for calling in tonight again, Sean.
Yep.
You have a good time. All right, with that, we're going to get out of here. Enjoy the weekend, guys. If you're watching football this weekend, enjoy the games. If you haven't already, go to Kickstarter and donate, pledge your money to the City of Titans Kickstarter Fund. And with
go knock over a liquor store and donate that.
That's right. The money, not the liquor, because that's just silly. You can't put it in the computer.
Yeah, that
would if you try that, you'll fry your computer, and you'll have to start your own Kickstarter to get money for a new computer. All right, with that, we're out of here. Tony, thanks again for helping, brother, and say goodnight, Tony.
Good night, Tony.
Good night.